Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Monday, December 12th, the day after the Giants suffered a lopsided loss to the 12-1 now playoff qualifying Philadelphia Eagles, leaving the Giants 7-5-1, still in the playoffs, but really needing to win some games here down the stretch, and here to help me talk about Sunday's debacle and look forward to next Sunday night against the Washington Commanders is Big Blue View's Tony Del Genio. Tony, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I was sitting in the press box Sunday, and Giants fans have had a lot to cheer about this year, despite the recent slide, 1-4-1, I think, over the last six games. You've got seven wins already. You're playing meaningful December football games. The Giants are for the first time in several years. But Sunday, I'm sitting there in MetLife Stadium, and it just sort of harkened back to what I've seen way too many times the last few years. Giants fans were starting to leave in the middle of the third quarter. By the end of the game, most of the people left in the building were Eagles fans. At the end of the game, Jalen Hurts was hearing MVP chants, and Eagles fans were unfurling 12-1 banners, and it felt like an Eagles home game. And I swear I was wishing that I could have been one of those people who could leave in the middle of the third quarter. I don't know. Did you make it all the way to the end of the game, Tony? Did you make it?
Oh, yeah. I stayed to the end of the game. I could tell that was happening, that you could even on TV, I think, you know, hear that there was a pretty significant amount of cheering from Eagles fans who were at the game. And I think actually a lot of Giants fans just sold their tickets and Eagles fans eagerly snap them up, and yeah, you know, who can blame them?
I do think the weather held some of the crowd down a little bit yesterday. I know, especially, you know, trying to get home last night, you know, mm-hmm. driving through a little bit of snow back to upstate New York, but yeah. I think the weather probably kept some people home, but you know that John Mara just has to hate that. You know, watching the Eagles celebrate in MetLife Stadium, as many good things as he's had to look at this year, that one hurts. It always hurts watching the Eagles fans or the Cowboys fans celebrate in MetLife.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a pleasant thing. Yeah, I personally don't take a lot from it. I was as disappointed as anyone with the result yesterday. Not that they didn't win, but that they weren't competitive. And I was hoping that they could be competitive because they've been competitive in every game this year up to this point. And obviously yesterday they were far from being competitive.
That is true. This is really the first time all season that they've been completely outclassed. And I wrote Sunday evening in my Things I Think post-game column, really that the Eagles had exposed the Giants for what they are, which is a team that you know, while they've had a good year so far, while they might sneak into the playoffs, they're a long, long way from being championship caliber. And maybe exposed isn't the right word, because I think we've known that, but the reality of it is, for me, there's not a lot to analyze in this game. The fact of the matter is the Eagles basically showed the Giants how far the Giants have to go, because whatever the Giants can do, the Eagles can do better. And whatever the Giants can't do, the Eagles can take advantage of. And if you look all the way up and down the rosters of both teams, there's really nowhere that the Giants have an advantage. And so yesterday's result was sort of predictable, and for me, just telling where the Giants are right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, precisely what you said. At the same time, I think that just about every other team in the NFL right now would not feel too differently if they played the Philadelphia Eagles right now. The Eagles are an amazingly complete team right now. And I think, you know, other than the 49ers, depending on who's playing quarterback for them, I'm not sure I see a team in the NFC that stands a chance of beating them. I mean, it was no fun watching them put 48 up on the Giants yesterday, but the Eagles have scored at least 35 points in each of their last three games. And this is the fifth time this season that they've scored at least 35 points. And I look at that defense, and the thing that I marvel about with regard to the Eagles is just how much depth they have. It's not just the front line people, but it's the depth. I just went to their depth chart this morning. I just wanted to remind myself. And here's who they have on the defensive line on that team: Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox, Linval Joseph, Javon Hargrave, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Ndamukong Suh, Jordan Davis, and Milton Williams. And that is with Derek Barnett and Robert Quinn on the IR. So it's like you look at all of those people they can bring on the defensive line, and you know, and they had an injury to Jordan Davis, and so what does Howie Roseman do? Brings in Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. You know, they have tremendous depth and quality in so much of their roster that you'd say, well, yeah, they're a team that's built to win now, and we know that Howie Roseman has done that. He's made some deals with the devil as far as their future finances in order to put this team together for this year. But clearly, they're all in for a Super Bowl this year. And at this point, I'm hard pressed to see a team that is going to really seriously challenge them for that. I thought that Jalen Hurts was their biggest question mark coming into the season, and I wasn't convinced last year that he was going to be a top flight quarterback. Well, I think he's turning into a top flight quarterback. And so I'm ready to forget about this loss yesterday and say that, well, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that would have a similar fate playing the Eagles the way they're playing now. I still think that the Giants have a decent chance to make the playoffs. Obviously, next Sunday night is the key game to make that happen. But I still don't feel that terrible about the Giants.
No, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, before we turn the page to next Sunday night against the Washington Commanders, you talked about the depth that the Eagles have, and it's just a reminder. Yes, the Giants were playing without Leonard Williams, Adoree Jackson, and Xavier McKinney on the defensive side of the ball, and those are three really good players. You could argue that they're three of the four best defensive players that the Giants have. So you can obviously say, well, if those three guys are healthy and they're on the field, it makes a difference, and maybe Philly doesn't put up 48. But again, as you said, it's a reminder just of where the franchises are, and that the Giants are at the beginning. And that the Giants do have a base of talent, that they do have some players, despite what it looked like yesterday, they can do some things well, but the roster is thin. The path to victory remains, as it has all season, remains very narrow. Games have to unfold in a certain way. And the Eagles are a team. They've done it quickly now because they were a four-win team, you know, two seasons ago. They've had the cap space and they've had the draft choices. They've had the ability to turn this thing quickly, and a lot of it is with Jalen Hurts, but they're at the point of looking for the payoff. And the Giants are at the point of beginning to put Humpty Dumpty back together again still, and honestly have done a good job so far this year, but there's a long way to go. So as I my whole point has been that it's just a reminder for Giants fans that that while this season has been fun, it's still going to take some work to get this team where everybody would really like it to be.
Yeah. And just one other thing I'd remind fellow Giants fans of, which I was trying to do on Twitter yesterday, because obviously Twitter was not a pretty place to be if you were a Giants fan yesterday. Certainly this team, this Giants team is not a Super Bowl team, nowhere near being a Super Bowl team yet. But just to make two comparisons, during the 2007 season in which the Giants wound up winning the Super Bowl, at about this point in the season, fans were wondering seriously whether the Giants were even going to make the playoffs. And I guess this was week 13 in the NFL, but in 2007, week 12, Eli Manning threw four interceptions, three of which were pick sixes, as the Giants lost to Minnesota at home 41-17. And Minnesota was a 500 team that year, and they lost 41-17 to them. In the 2011 Super Bowl season, in week 12, Giants went to New Orleans and lost to the Saints 49-24. So there's two teams, and that 2011 team lost five out of six games in the middle of the season. So even teams that wind up performing very well can have bad stretches through the season. This Giants team is not as good as either of those two Super Bowl teams, but it doesn't mean that they're a disaster because they've not played well for the past month or so.
All right, Tony, let's turn the page. Let's forget the Eagles game.
Play by play dissection of each drive.
there's nothing to analyze. He forgot what sport he was playing, Tony. He forgot what sport he was playing. It was kind of cool. It's just not legal.
Uh-huh.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
That game was over by the early part of the second quarter. What really matters for the Giants now is what comes next. And I will say this. Giants fans are up in arms right now. They're at a low point. They're bummed out. They're ready to, you know, they're just, you know, they're ready to revolt. They think the team stinks and all that. And let me remind everybody of what has happened for the last 5 years with this Giants team. They have five consecutive double-digit loss seasons entering this year. They've gone through, this is their fourth head coach, fourth full-time head coach since Tom Coughlin was let go. There were no expectations for the Giants this season. Entering the year, 7 or 8 wins would have been considered a good season. It would have been considered progress. And the reality of it is, under Brian Daboll, under Joe Shane, this team has still made progress. It is still ahead of where it was the last few years. They're not going to lose double-digit games this year. So, I mean, if you just want to base it on that, that's progress. Fact of the matter is, as we do this show, it's December 12th. The New York Giants are the number 7 seed in the NFC playoff picture. They're in the playoffs. Can they stay there? I don't know. But I think back in August, back in June, back in July, before the season started, I think every Giants fan would have signed up for, hey, it's the middle of December and the Giants are in the playoff race. They're not a perfect team, but they're in the playoff race. They're playing meaningful football. So, you know, my point is, you're disappointed the way the last few weeks have gone. The Eagles game was no fun to watch, but be excited. Your team is playing for a chance to go to the playoffs. This is a good thing. It's progress, and it's they're taking steps forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I do think it's important for the Giants to turn things around a little bit and play better over the final month of the season for reasons that you know aren't necessarily why you ordinarily want to win games. I say, you know, the Giants are not going to go to the Super Bowl. They're not going to come anywhere close to winning the Super Bowl. But it is still a very reasonable thing to imagine them getting a wild card spot. As you say, they're seventh now. If they beat Washington and they manage to beat the Colts, those are both winnable games. They're both losable games too. But if they manage to win both of those, then they finish. I guess it's 9-7-1, and that probably is good enough to get them into the playoffs. And frankly, if you want to take it even further, if they manage to get into the playoffs, they could wind up playing a team like Tampa Bay in the first round, and Tampa Bay is looking like a team that's in deep trouble right now. They're looking like a very old and slow and tired team. You could even imagine them winning a game in the first round. But I think it really goes beyond whether they make the playoffs or not. It's just a matter of setting a mood for the team and the players to know that they could make the playoffs, or even if they don't make the playoffs, just finish with a winning record. And finishing with a winning record would, I think, mean a lot to the players in terms of their hopes for the future. I also think in the offseason, when Joe Shane is finally going to have some money to work with and he's looking to sign free agents, you know, why did Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph and Robert Quinn decide that they were worth of taking, some small amount of money to sign with the Eagles? Because the Eagles look like they could win a Super Bowl and they'd like to get a ring, right? Okay, you know, and so I'm not saying the Giants will be ready to get a ring even next year, but as you're recruiting free agents, those free agents, if they have a choice, would rather go to a team that looks like they're building for the future and has some hope. And so a good finish by the Giants, I think, makes it easier for Shane to improve the team in the offseason.
Absolutely. And the Giants still have questions to answer at quarterback. And although I think Daniel Jones has done everything you could have asked him to do this year, considering what's been around him, and they still have questions to answer about some of their other personnel, but the big thing is, you know, can they make this push? It's good for these players to play in games like this. It would be an awesome experience for them to get to the playoffs and experience what that is like. So this is all good. It's all gravy. It's all good what's going on with the Giants right now. That said, it would be really nice to see the Giants turn things around and win this football game Sunday night in Landover, Maryland against the Washington Commanders. And what I want to say is, on the face of it, all right, Washington's 4.5-point favorites, you know, per DraftKings, at least in the initial line. All right, the Giants are 1-4-1 over their last six games. The Commanders, I think, are 6-2-1 or something like that over their last nine games. So on the face of it, you're entering a game. And also the whole thing about Washington having a bye week in between the two Giants games. You're entering a game where it looks like the deck is stacked against the Giants. But I will remind you, the Carolina Panthers beat the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. And no one would tell you that the Panthers are better than the Seahawks. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeated the Tennessee Titans yesterday. The Detroit Lions have come from 1-6 to be on the cusp of the playoffs. Brian Daboll says all the time, this is a week-to-week league. What happened last week, what happened the week before, doesn't make any difference. Momentum is it, you know, momentum is basically as good as how well you play on that given day. Not, it has nothing to do with the prior weeks or anything like that. So for me, you toss everything out, you forget who's hot, who's cold, who's played well, who hasn't played well. You just go try to win a football game on Sunday, and really nothing that happened previously makes any difference.
Yeah, I'll throw in the Houston Texans were one good run block away from defeating the Dallas Cowboys yesterday at Dallas. If you want to talk about anything being able to happen in any given week. And the other thing, I'm not so pessimistic about the Washington game, because I do remember back 8 days ago when the Giants, after the first quarter, kind of controlled that game against Washington, and it was only their ineptitude on offense mainly that prevented them from, and a couple of ill-advised things like Feliciano flexing his muscles and so on and so forth and getting a critical penalty and so on.
Right.
They should have won that game against Washington. And so if they should have won that game, Giants have played well in Washington in recent years. There's no reason they can't win that game next Sunday. I think the big question for me, and the only question that comes out of yesterday's game that truly worries me, is the Giants' pass protection. And yesterday's pass protection was horrendous. And what was horrendous about it, it was Evan Neal who had an absolutely awful game, and even Andrew Thomas did not have a great game yesterday. So to see the pressure coming against both of the tackles was a very uncomfortable thing for me to watch. And somehow they have to get that fixed up next Sunday so that Washington doesn't do something similar.
Yes, they do. They have to play better on the offensive line. I have no worries about Andrew Thomas. It's funny because I talked to him briefly after the game on Sunday night, and he had, and we were just chatting a little bit as he was leaving the locker room, and I said to him the rep where he gave up the sack to Josh Sweat, and I said is that your worst pass pro rep of the entire season? And he said it's one of the two. And the interesting thing was, he said both sacks that he's given up this year came on the same pass protection scheme, where he just didn't get to the place he needs to get to make that block. So I have no worries about Andrew Thomas. Mm-hmm. I have some worries about Evan Neal. I think Evan Neal's going to be a very good NFL player, but we've reminded over and over and over this year that rookie offensive linemen have a long learning curve. If you look at what Charles Cross is doing in Seattle, and you look at what Ike Ekwonu's doing in Carolina, I don't have the Pro Football Focus numbers in front of me, but it's not vastly different from the way that Evan Neal is playing. Mm-hmm. It's a learning curve. I think that Neal is going to continue to get better. You know, that's a tremendous defensive line that the Eagles have, and it was disappointing to see him play that way. I still say the issue for the Giants comes mostly on the interior of that offensive line. And I don't know if Ben Bredesen will be available this coming Sunday against Washington. I think he will be. Bredesen, of course, was the starting left guard the first 7 weeks of the season, and his return would help if he's healthy, if he's playing the way that he played earlier in the season, which is no guarantee when you've been out for so long, and to come back and pick up right away. But the interior of that offensive line is really not fixable until the off season.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we'll see. For me, the thing that I would like to see offensively, Tony, and I've written and talked a little bit about this already, the Giants' philosophy is what it is. All right. They're run first, pass cautiously, lean on Saquon Barkley, who had kind of sort of a rest day on Sunday against the Eagles. Lean on Daniel Jones to be efficient, to make plays with his legs, to make the throws they ask him to make. What I would like to see from Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll is some creativity in getting to the kind of running plays that they get to, some wildcats, some eye candy for the defense, some misdirection, some motion, some things that give the Washington defense some other things to look at other than where the ball's going. And I think that's where I've been disappointed with the Giants offense the last few weeks. It's not the philosophy, because it is what it is. It's what they have to do. It's the lack of creativity in how they've approached it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that lack of creativity has been there now for certainly ever since the Jacksonville game. They were in some nice plays in the Jacksonville game. And ever since that time, for whatever reason, they've been much more straightforward, much more vanilla in what they're doing. And I'm not sure I understand the reason for that, unless they, I mean, yeah. And of course you never get anything out of Mike Kafka. He just gives these, answers that tell you absolutely nothing when people ask him about play design and stuff like that. And so I get, you have to hope that maybe they're holding some things in reserve for this game that they're going to show that they haven't shown in a while.
Well, I think that's what I'm hoping for, is not necessarily a trick play, although a well-timed, well-executed trick play would be, would obviously be beneficial. But, look at what the Lions did yesterday, throwing a pass for a first down to offensive tackle Penei Sewell. Yeah. That kind of stuff is fun, yeah. and it lifts a team, but I'm just looking for, if you want to hand the ball up the middle to Saquon Barkley, how about, that's fine, but how about some eye candy that has guys, moving and something that distracts the defense from where the ball is going? And I think we saw some of those things earlier in the season. We've even saw some two running back packages at times, and I just don't think we've seen a lot of that. Hopefully the Giants have some tricks up their sleeves that they can add to their scheme on Sunday.
Yeah, and one of the things that they did earlier in the season was that they showed those looks, but then from week to week they showed the same look, but then do something different off the same look. And I think that's really the key, is to have different options off the same look, so that you assume that the opposing defense has seen what you do on film, and then they see that, but then you do something off that they're not expecting. And yeah, there just hasn't been a lot of that lately. It's been very, very standard look, and whatever the reason is, I think a lot of what they do or don't do has to do with their worry about the interior offensive line and feeling that there's very, very little they can do to work with the group that they have out there right now. But whatever the answer is, I think they have to do something to put some points on the board next Sunday night.
Absolutely. And hopefully defensively, they'll get Leonard Williams back. They might get Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson back, so they might be a little bit healthier, as healthy as they can be at this point in the season. And, just in closing, like I said, it's 7-5-1, maybe not as good as what you might have thought when the Giants were 6-1. But, when you look back on 6-1, they won a couple of games that maybe they weren't supposed to win. But you look back at the Tennessee win in week one, Tennessee's what now, 7-6. They're basically the same as the Giants. Mm-hmm. So maybe that win is not quite as impressive as it might have felt at the time. The win over Green Bay in London, Green Bay is not what anybody thought they were going to be either. So maybe that win's not quite as impressive as it might have felt at the time. But again, 4 weeks to go. The Giants are still in the playoff hunt. I think everybody would have signed up for that. This week is huge, and it will be a disappointment if the Giants don't win this game, if they don't make the playoffs. And yet, when it's all said and done this season, it's my contention that a lot of good things that bode well for the Giants' future have happened already anyway.
Yeah, I think it's been a clear sign of progress this year. And again, I think so much is targeted at the offseason. They will have established a team that at least came close to getting a playoff berth, although a playoff berth would be a lot nicer. And it's clear that they put together a coaching staff. They've been able to draw good coaches to the team. Maybe a silver lining in the fact that they've stumbled over the last month is we're not hearing so much of the talk about Kafka and Martindale being hired away for head coaching jobs elsewhere. And so maybe there's a higher probability that they'll be back next season. You know, let people take Demeco Ryans, is it, from the 49ers to be their head coach, right?
And there you go.
Leave Wink here, you know. So there are things like that. I think going into next season, the Giants, again, with money now to work with, to fill some holes, and 11 draft picks to work with, to fill some holes, and people coming back from injuries, I think that they're in position to really take a nice step next season. You would just like them to finish this season in a way that's very different from the way the Giants finished last season.
Absolutely. All right, Tony, again, Giants fans, you know, be excited, get ready for Sunday. We'll have all your coverage all week long at Big Blue View as we get you ready for Sunday night football, Giants against Commanders. So Tony, thanks again as always. Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.